Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. Welcome to Fightful, here with a couple names you know. It's funny, we talk to these guys every few years. I wonder what happens every few years that allows me to speak to these two gentlemen, the Good Brothers, Doc Gallows and Carl Anderson. You can see them at New Japan Resurgence, which is official now. I thought I was going to be talking to a couple of shadowy figures until it was announced, and at Maple Leaf Pro Wrestling. Booked and busy, these two fellas. How y'all doing?
Sean, you either talk to us every couple of years via good decisions or bad decisions. I don't know at this point, besides the fact that I know Gallows and myself are, we're happy to see you. But
thanks.
Very happy. I will say that right now on May the 8th, 2025, is possibly the happiest personally we've ever felt in our entire lives. And people can say whatever they want about that, besides the fact that it's just a straight, flat out fact. And we sit here now in Los Angeles, California. We had In-N-Out last night. We had our, which is one of my favorites. We had a big Patreon freedom party, as we call it.
Freedom party, boozing with the boys, return, unbelievable.
Baby. It's because it's just like, you know, our life now, it's almost like the past is the past, bro. And we are ready to move all the way forward. And like, we're looking ahead to, because there's still so much left in the tank that we really want people to see what the fuck we got. Baby.
It's a whirlwind when you're a good brother, and especially when you're a repented good brother, prepared to show the world the light, Sean Ross Sapp.
I'm excited for it, man. There's so much to talk about. I've had people ask me, like, what's it like to interview the Good Brothers? And I'm like, well, honestly, you think they're lying a lot and they just don't lie. Like, I'll give you a couple of examples. December 2015, New Japan was not getting a ton of United States coverage, despite the fact that, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on there.
Yeah.
And I talked to this gentleman, Carl Anderson, and I was like, yeah, you know, just the formality question. Yeah, you ever think about going to WWE? And he's like, yeah, there's been lots of talk, some right now. And I was like, yeah, sure, buddy. I bet there have been. Then maybe 3 years ago, we're sitting in Nashville. You all have the now TNA tag titles over your shoulders. And you go, yeah, well, these things aren't going to last long. We're going back to WWE in a couple months. And I said, okay, guys, I bet you are.
A little bit too much inside information.
Everybody thinks we're bullshitting because we're so damn honest, Sean.
I know. I sit there and I'm like, this is like, it's sort of refreshing, but now anything that you all even joke about, I'm like, are they though? Are they?
I think a lot of it is we're just throwing shit out there and seeing what sticks. And then
it sticks, baby.
A couple of things work. If you go back one time, we did an interview with one of my buddies, Sam Roberts, on we were sitting there and, like, let's just say, for example, it was July of 2022. And he asked us a question about WWE. And I was like, well, I mean, you know, just keep your eyes open. And they're like, it made no run at all. No steam, just the Good Brothers being workers. Blah, 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 blah. And then, like, I saw a couple of comments go, hold on a second. Carl was like foreshadowing. I wasn't just foreshadowing. I was telling you exactly
what the truth. Place. For worse.
Now, and what's about to happen right now, moving forward, is you're going to probably see Gallows and Anderson at their most insanely fun stuff that we're going to do right now. I think we're going to
praise the Lord, baby. Yeah, it is time.
We're going to go so left. Yeah.
Well, speaking of, you recently posted that you're 500 days sober. Well,
yeah.
Listen, I'm 1,637 days sober because that's the last time Talking Chop-a-Mania happened. And that's a natural question, is are y'all bringing that crazy stuff back? Because that seemed like a product of the pandemic and like a way to create content. But every time you guys are available to do something like that, people naturally go, oh, well, are they bringing it back?
I'll tell you this.
Yeah.
There is a white hearse still sitting on my property, and I feel like it needs to explode at some point. I don't know if that's now, but it needs to happen.
Well, we can tell you this, like, you know, Talking Shopomania 3 is obviously in the works. We're writing it. We've been writing it for three or four years now.
We started writing it at the end of 2022 because there's so much to play in.
And it's more than like taking shots here or taking shots there or doing this, that, doing this. It's just we truly love like the creative process of what this is. We had a friend of, or he's a friend of ours now, but he's got a TikTok. He's got a million followers. He came over to the room last night named Shane Hartline.
Shane Hartline. He's doing some
I
great
love
stuff.
Shane Hartline. Yes. Mark E. Extreme.
Dude, yeah,
I love that guy.
And not many people, if they know me well, I have a horrible fake laugh. I think there's like two or three people in the world that are funny, and like there two of them are sitting here. And you are one too, Sean, of course.
Right, thank you.
But my now that you learned his last name.
But my fake laughs are really bad, and you can tell when I'm fake laughing. Yeah, that's true. I just learned his real last
Sean
name.
Sean Ross Rapp. I go, yeah, he's been talking to us for 5 years. You got to say his
Sean name, Ross Sapp Rapp. I might have been a little brother to the max when I was kept saying that.
Oh, that was over 500 days ago, my friend.
Well, let me finish my story here. And then I was watching a Shane Hartline video, and as I watched it, I went, Oh God. And I got a real pop. I got to talk to this guy, but we love the creative stuff. We've got, you know, we've got a million things coming up. Like people always say when they got this, but we're in the process of having a lot of fun. And it's such a moment right now. It's just a fun moment to be in wrestling because everybody is so looking at, you know, everyone's so focused. I talked to a couple of kids that are focused on, they want to go to WWE. They want to go to WWE. And I'm like, dude, that's a great dream to have. But don't forget that there's all this other shit out there, man, that I did it for 16 or 17 years before I went to the WWE. Don't forget what all is out there.
And don't let the corporate vacuum suck away your soul. That's the most important part of all this. Because, you know, you talk about Talking Shopomania 3, we're in a different time. We're in a different world than we were in 2020. And, you know, the media and everybody is so focused on the corporate side of what wrestling is. I think it's a great time to showcase everything else all over the world. And that's why we wanted to sign with New Japan and then have it open to where we can go anywhere we want to be. We can show up anywhere, any state, any town, any country, any continent, and just go fucking nuts. That's what we love, man.
Yeah, you know, Sean, you talked about the 500 day sober thing, and a lot of times that gets such a weird I never wanted to say it out loud because I'm just not huge into that. But I think if anybody that knows Carl Anderson knows that I used to love smashing beers. But here's the thing. At some point, it's like, all right, dude, you need to either reel it in or it's all going to go haywire. And so reeling it in was something it wasn't easy to do. Did it. We've moved on from that. And now I'm glad that it's out there so that if people will never see me stumbling out of a bar at a WrestleCon or something, because then they would know that I'm fucked. So it ain't happening now. So it's nice to have
some
that
accountability, baby.
It's nice to have that accountability now because you won't see it happen. And if you do, we'll start over. It'll be a new day one. Well, you won't see it because I've moved on from that part of my life, and it's all forward now.
Beautiful.
Baby.
Hell yeah. Y'all mentioned Shane Hartline. Have you all ever seen his old Mark E. Extreme channel?
No.
Oh, my God.
I have not.
The stuff he's doing now is funny. He played a backyard wrestler, and he would just go around interviewing like Matt Hardy, Shane Helms, Christy Hemme. They let him in TNA HQ to interview like everybody.
No, it's you have to see that.
That's how
he pops
I came
the shit out of me.
Oh, he's so funny. He's such
we
a
were
funny.
Yeah, we sat with him last night in the room before our Patreon special that we just get. Everyone else does. We do boozing with the boys, and they all get boozed up. And I'm sitting there thinking, maybe this isn't as fun as I thought it was. And then all of a sudden, an hour in, I go, this is a lot more fun sober watching all these crazy people. But but Shane sat in the room with us for a little bit, and we riffed back and forth. And man, it was. What a funny and a good dude. So
incredibly creative dude too. I love that. Like Machine Gun touched on, just being able to open up the creative book a little bit for us is one of the most fun things that we can do, and being able to create stuff. You know, we got our own wrestling promotion we haven't talked about in a long time. There's just stuff going on everywhere, and we love to be hands-on like that. So this is really exciting.
Well, technically, the reason we're here is to talk about you guys and the Young Bucks taking on Bullet Club War Dogs and Listen, the Bullet Club is maybe the group in wrestling that has managed to withstand the test of time more than any other. When Finn Balor left. They said, well, what are they going to do now? And then there's AJ Styles. He leaves. What are they going to do now? Kenny Omega. What are they going to do now? Switchblade. Then David Finlay and now Gabe Kidd. Like these guys that have sort of carried this torch that you all lit however long ago. You guys never technically got kicked out of Bullet Club, did you? Like,
no.
How do you get kicked out of something that you're an originator of? Like, what the fuck?
Well, I mean, Judgment Day's rolling around without Edge or Damian Priest or Rhea, so that's a thing. But like, even a few years ago, I would interview Switchblade, and there was like some cohesiveness between the groups, even if you all didn't interact, because he would say on my show, well, it looks like Yem's a part of Bullet Club now. Like, he would embrace that type of thing. Were there ever conversations between these members of these groups about stuff like that while you all were somewhere that couldn't legally say Bullet Club out loud?
We've never been told that we weren't allowed to say it. I mean, you know, one time on WWE, we said Bulletproof. And I remember Hunter was like, you know, are we really going to go there, guys? But it wasn't. I was like, you know, that, I think he was talking to the writers about that, because we never went off the script with that stuff. We're not
insane. Well, in 2016, our first night in together in WWE, we get finished in the outshot and we bang the hand symbol together and we got in the back and they just go, please don't do that again.
All right. Now I think Bullet Club is just something that caught on. Dude, look at the stars that have gone through it, and look at the wrestling world now and where it's at. And
it did a lot for wrestling and a lot for wrestlers, I think.
That's what's still cool now is I think it's I just met a kid at the baseball field where my kids were playing just last week. I walked by, obviously big pop for the Machine Gun.
Oh, of course.
Monster. And he goes, man, I watched when Doc came over and you guys were forming the Bullet Club and this and that. And I was like, well, how old were you then, bro? And he was like, I was 11. I was in the fifth grade. I was like, shit, is this what we're doing now? Is this what we're doing? But it's those kind of moments now, because that's like, you know, when YouTube and all that stuff started to pick up. And so now people were able to see what we were doing in Japan. And it's just something that's kept on. It's kept going. I try to tell people that it's still over and it's still over. It's still drawing money in Japan and it's still making them. It's still famous there.
And it's just another stage of its evolution, and it'll continue to go and go and go.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, the War Dogs versus the OG Bullet Club, it's almost like we got to take them down and just snag it back and either kill Bullet Club forever or take it back. I don't know.
Kill it or take it back. We might have to kill off the Too Sweet, too. I don't think that needs to be. Either we keep it as the originators or we kill it.
Yeah, we're unsure.
We got a decision to make in the next 24
hours. We're unsure what to do with the Too Sweet, you know.
Well, Gabe Kidd changed his bio today.
Oh,
and it says, good brothers in 2025. And he put 5 cry laugh emojis and said, in all caps, I'm the bald white boy in New Japan now, you fucking nerds.
So it's pretty good.
So he's stealing our catchphrase too. I love it. Well, let's see. Let's beat his fucking ass tomorrow.
Yeah, well, I guess we're going to see him tomorrow in Ontario.
Oh, hold on. I got to... Actually, I've got to save and then show you guys his new profile picture as well, which is also very pertinent to what we're doing now. I'll pull that up, but he loves his trash talk. He loves to do that, and you know, sometimes this is just a part of it. As there we go.
Well, you know, it's funny that he put that up, because I was thinking when I first started hearing that trash talk, I mean, we're aging in reverse, and he looks pretty Festus-ish. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Let's be honest.
Well,
you do look remarkably younger now than you did 18 years ago.
Well, he was doing that for the gimmick, you know?
Right. Yeah, sure.
Well, that's part of making it when you're 20 years old. You
know? I'll say this. Gabe Kidd's a super talented young kid. He actually reminds himself. He reminds myself a lot. He reminds me of myself when I started in New Japan Pro Wrestling, you know, 27, 28 years old, and having, you know, zero filter, which I, you know, took into the rest of my career, but which can either, you know, damper you or not. But like, I'm impressed with what Gabe Kidd's got, and I'm excited to see what he's got in the ring on Friday.
Yeah, because their cage match was fun to watch. I want to see if he can back his shit up when we get in there. It'd be fun.
He reminds me a lot of a young Machine Gun that doesn't give a fuck, you know. So that's good. He needs to keep rocking, keep pushing. Let's just see if he makes the money that I ended up making.
Oh, I don't know about that.
One of the things that often wrestling fans fantasy book is the the Bullet Club Civil War, which, I mean, continues throughout this weekend because it's not just like Friday. It's also Maple Leaf Pro Wrestling.
Saturday at Maple Leaf. Yeah, absolutely.
You guys are doing it there too. Adam Cole, I interviewed him a while back and he was like, I don't want a Bullet Club Civil War. I want a Bullet Club group hug. That's what he wants. He wants the group hug. He wants to pull everybody together. He wants to bring Cody back. He wants to bring the Tongans back, everybody, and just hug in the ring. One group hug.
Well, I would say, I think a big, one big massive Bullet Club reunion. How does that not sell out Madison Square Garden?
It does.
Or, yeah, I mean, I, you know, if you've got, if you bring in everybody from the Bullet Club and they all get an entrance and then we just all, we all take our time on an entrance. That's the show. And then we get in the ring.
What a segment.
We get in the ring, you know, maybe we all cut a couple promos. And I mean, and then, and you can't, you, the talent that would fill that ring would, I think the talent that would fill that ring would sell out, it would sell out an arena. So I agree with Adam Cole on that. That would actually be a really fun show to do.
Jeff Jarrett and Haku is the tag team champions. Like,
yeah, oh, please. Absolutely. To go.
And you know, Double J will promote it. He's the one that would get it.
I always tell people the best advice I got, like from in-ring wrestling, Christopher Daniels said, don't do anything in minute five you can't do in minute 30. Jeff Jarrett never did anything in 1988 he couldn't do in 2025.
It's genius.
Like, dude.
He had the same matches.
Genius.
Dude, Jeff Jarrett's still rocking. Like,
he's icon, baby.
It's unbelievable.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
What a legend, and what a guy we look up to too.
We look up to him. Yeah, I mean, still going, and what a promotion machine. Love it,
Carl. I know you're hitting the ground running. A lot of people surprised that you were sidelined with an injury, and WWE released you, which was, that was shocking. It's not something they usually do. Riley Osborne has indicated that he is in sort of the same boat. How do they sort of reckon that? Do they just assume you're going to be cleared by the time your days are up, or what is that?
I look at it like I look at it like this. If you know us, you know our happiness in the last 2.5 years wasn't really there.
No.
In the last 2.5 years, looking at different avenues to take to get out of what we had gotten into, just because of where we wanted to be, what we signed up for wasn't what came to be. And so the things we were thinking on ways to get out and how do we do this? You know, this isn't working out. Like, we want out of here anyway. So to get that call anyway, I'm telling you, everything about this, I'm not like a super religious man, but like, I was saying prayers about stuff or throwing up vibrations to places wherever I was doing. And it all worked out, and there's zero resentment towards it. It happened for a reason. I'm glad it happened. It needed to happen. I wanted it to happen. And I don't have anything to say about it besides the fact that the last 2.5 years happened. I'm gone from it. It's barely in my thought process.
It's a renewed sense of freedom all the way.
Yeah.
So freeing.
It's the most freeing. It's the most freeing I've felt in so long. And any bitterness or madness or whatever, and whatever the process they go through to make that happen, I don't know. And honestly, Sean, this is a true, an honest fact. I don't care. And it doesn't bother whatever they did to do it. They got there. Great. I'm here now. And it's a blessing. It's an absolute blessing. And I'm happy.
And I mean, now you guys are, as soon as you're available, booked back-to-back days, already kicking off this, as we mentioned, the sort of like a Bullet Club Civil War type of thing. Was that a conscious effort that you all wanted to come in and have something that was a natural story to tell as soon as you guys got booked? Because, I mean, you all could have faced anybody. You could be wrestling over in Qatar or something like that, doing one of those Qatar pro wrestling shows.
You better hold your breath on that, Sean, because that might be coming real soon here. Foreshadowing.
It will be. They pay pretty good too. But like, you guys are hitting the ground running with something that is a natural story. Was that important to you guys, or was that just the way the chips fell?
it just lined up so good that it was like a can't miss and it had to be done. You know, when you look at when the 90 days is up and we're free, and then you see that the next day is a New Japan Pro Wrestling pay-per-view in America, in Los Angeles, a good brother town.
Yeah,
like the stars lined up perfectly. So you have to jump all over that. And then, of course, Scott D'Amore, we've had a great relationship with for years. And he came right in with the Maple Leaf Pro Wrestling booking. And then, I mean, you know, that what's been the hardest for us, honestly, is building our schedule because, I mean, the booking email is just slam-packed full. And we have to go, well, just hold on 1 second here. We can't commit to all that just yet. But I mean, we're almost overcommitted now, which is a beautiful thing because we wanted to hit the ground running. We miss traveling, we miss working, we miss doing all that. So like, here we fucking go.
Yeah, I mean, it's dude. You know, I've been home now for 7 months, and I've never been home that much in my entire life. And so I've almost, and we both had babies in the past in the last year. So
we sure did.
So it's almost, and again, like you know, with me, you know, having a baby, being a sober brother or whatever it is, I've got this new found in love for just not having to travel. And then, so now that I start getting all these, you know, all these calls for all this stuff that we have to do. And it's like, here we go now. It's like, dude, we're in Los Angeles here today. We're doing stuff all day today to hype up the show tomorrow.
Full media.
We have the big show tomorrow. We're hopping on a red eye directly to Toronto. We land in Toronto at 11 a.m. It's straight to the building and let's go, you know? So like it's straight. We're going to run this until the wheels fall off, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
So naturally, whenever you guys are available, people are going to say, well, TNA, AEW, you've popped up in both of those places. You're in a tag match with two of the EVPs of AEW. Now, the regimes have completely changed since you've been in TNA. So I don't know what kind of connection you all have to that or if you guys are already like interested in that or not, but do you see either of those in your future?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, we're an open book and we have good relationships in both places, but we wanted to be in New Japan first. We wanted to come here. We wanted to do that. And then, you know, the book is open and, you know, like we've told you many times over many years, there's a lot of conversations going on behind closed doors. So we'll see where it goes.
Yes.
Also, I mean, I'm just taking that as fact at this point, based on my experience with you guys.
Yes.
Another question you all always get is, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, AJ Styles, et cetera. And you can just fill in blanks regarding anything else. A lot of people just don't even know, like, is his contract coming up? Because there was word of that. Like, does he even still like you all? What's going on?
Well, we don't know anymore. Jeez. I'll tell you this though. It seems like they bring us in to heat him up every now and then. So he better like us. Yeah, they better like us a lot.
Yeah. Need a couple of heaters.
After taking that right hook from Logan Paul, we might have to call us in again.
Listen, I've always been an advocate of you all just simply dressing up Air Paris like him and parading him around because I love Air Paris.
Which we enjoy doing as well.
Yeah.
A lovely guy. He's a wonderful dude. Oh, I
Frank Paris is wonderful.
Big Air Paris mark back in the day. Like, of course, he was the one that I was a fan of in Air Raid.
You know, with AJ's contract, like,
I love it.
Like we know what's going on with him, and it's obviously not something we can talk about now, but sure. AJ Styles is going to be fine wherever he goes. Say if he stays in WWE, he's a full-blown first ballot Hall of Famer, and it's going to really pop everybody when Gallows and Anderson music hits and we hit the ring and we have to induct him into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, so he might not have any friends.
Don't worry, that'll happen someday. And with that said, if he leaves WWE, he's going to be a big star wherever he goes.
Absolutely.
And, you know,
he's a credit to anywhere that he's at.
And a Maple Leaf Garden on Saturday night, my dad popped for that. And like, he watched Hockey Night in Canada his whole life growing up. And I didn't even realize that was such an awesome
a historic
thing.
Wrestling building too. I mean, years and years and years, that's a place we haven't done. So that's cool. It's all stuff that you want to continue to do. And there's more shit out there that, believe it or not, that we actually haven't done yet. So.
Carl, I knew who you were well before you hit the national scene because I had some mutual friends that trained with you at the time.
Oh, here we go.
Including like one like 7 foot guy, Mac the Knife.
Mac I think the Knife.
Mac the Knife.
Oh yeah, Frey. Yeah. Great name. Good old Frey. Oh yeah.
There you go. Like so I was familiar with you back then. our area wasn't like a big, rich pro wrestling area. And then people like yourself, Abyss would pop up as well. Like there were some names that really made it from this area.
Yeah.
What was that like sort of coming up in that era? Because again, like, especially on the Kentucky side of the river, it was real hard to get anything going.
Yeah, no, it was. You know, I'm proud of the fact that I came up through the Cincinnati wrestling scene too. And I still would send people to Roger Ruffin. If anybody asks me, I would say, go to Roger Ruffin at the Northern Wrestling Federation in Cincinnati and train there. I'm telling you, if you just stay, go there for 6 months and you're going to learn, because you got to learn from the ground up. And you got to learn that way.
100%.
And, you know, I think I was brought up in the business so, you know, perfectly, because I would wrestle on Friday at a student show in front of, you know, 20 people. And then Saturday, Roger would have a show in Wilmington, Ohio, in front of 75 people. And then on Sunday, I'd drive to Georgetown, Kentucky at the Georgetown Convention Center. And I would wrestle for the MWA, the Mountain Wrestling Association, where Mr. Hayes ran with Honest Donnie Green and Ray the Bear Steele. And I would wrestle in front of 60 to 70 people. And then on Monday, I'd go back and I'd wrestle in front of 90 people at the Madison Theater in Covington, Kentucky. I was wrestling, you know, 4 days a week on top of,
which is incredible,
working
independent scene in a region like that.
And now again, a total of 20, I would probably make $20 or $25, but that wasn't even on my thought process, because I think with professional wrestling, you got to beyond love this to really truly like get into it. If you get in, I know we've made jokes about money all the time, and that's like, it really is just a joke. But like, I did this for zero money for, you know, 8 years. And if, when you learn how to fall in love with this for nothing, then the rewards start to come and they start to shower themselves in, you know. But I'm glad that I came up in the Cincinnati area and I'm proud of it.
And you both sort of did that. You both worked the scene beforehand. I'm always interested to learn, was there somebody very early on that either or each of you ran into and you're like, yeah, I'm going to be seeing that guy down the line. And then you did?
Well, I mean, I, for me, like the first guy that I ever saw on an independent show that had, that I was on, that came from TV, was like Gangrel. And he was such a journeyman.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he was just coming off of like a WWF run, and he was at the, you know, the Stonewood Fairground in West Virginia at the Blackberry Festival. And he was just doing his thing. He's a pro wrestler. Pro wrestlers wrestle, and it continues on and on and on. And now Dave Heath is still out there wrestling. And I love that about it. We're grassroots guys. And it's like, you talk about falling in love with it. Like, we're going from New Japan to Maple Leaf Pro to next Friday night, we're literally running a fundraiser in my hometown to promote the local football team. And they go, hey, can you do wrestling? And I said, no. And then the release came and I said, yes, let's have a fundraiser. And then I called him. I go, hey buddy, we have to do this fundraiser. We got a big autograph thing the next day, but Friday night, I need you. Lariato Pro is going to be live in Jackson, Georgia. That's part of it. It's grassroots. And then you go on from there, and then the rest of the month is filled out with stuff like that. And then we end up down in Puerto Rico. So it's just wrestlers wrestling and traveling and loving the business. And I think that, that's what's the most exciting right now, is the freeness to be able to do all of it, from the big arenas to, you know, if we feel like showing up at the fairground on a Wednesday night and brothering around, we're going to do it.
Yeah. Cause I think, like I said, I've been hit up by a bunch of people, like, you know, how do I, what do I do? Where do I go? Where do I start training? How do I make it? And I'm like, dude, go here first. Or for example, go to Roger Ruffin's first, go to, you know, Dayton, Ohio first, whatever. But their first thought is, well, I got to go to the PC. I got to go to the PC. And it's like, all right, man, but you're not, you know, you're not growing and learning and falling in love with what is going to ultimately help you be successful in this business. If you truly can feel the passion coming, you go and you take a couple bumps in front of nobody and you start to go, whoa. Cause I remember stepping in the ring. I'm getting chills now talking about it. But I remember stepping in the ring for the first time ever, and just getting like a chills and going, oh, this is amazing. And I took, of course, a perfect flat back, because I knew that. And I go, yep, I'm going to be a fucking star, you know. But that was 25 years ago now. Like, if you can fall in love with the process of it, man, there's so much more that can come.
Of course, you guys check out New Japan Resurgence on Friday, Maple Leaf Pro Wrestling on Saturday. Listen, no offense. I hope y'all don't get re-signed by WDB because I like doing these interviews with you all.
We're going to be out here in the wild, baby. We love being in the jungle.
I'm just hoping that I get to talk to you guys a little bit more. Because, listen, I want to ask Gallows about wrestling Barbarian like a year into his career. Yeah. Stuff like that. Like, I got some in the chamber, buddy. But please.
So much, brother.
Check out these shows and tell the people where they can support you guys, as I know that you get your Patreon rocking and all that good stuff as well.
The Patreon's rocking. Patreon.com. Patreon.com/talkingshop. Dude, we do. Basically, now I wake up and I do a machine gun morning radio every morning as my therapy when my kids, my babies are still asleep. I walk in there and I just talk to the Patreon. I mean, we
call them the Falcon's Nest. Yeah, it's called the Patreon. They're our Falcon's Nest. Yeah, they're Falcon's Nesters.
They turned into these last 3 months were kind of like, you know, buddies. weird territory for us. The Patreon's almost turned into our friends and our safe place that we can go. And so it's actually a really fun spot to hook up with. But follow me on X, obviously at Machine Gun KA. You got
the big underscore LG. You would have loved it last night, Sean. We had Adam Bomb. We had Headbanger Mosh.
Oh my God, Crazy Steve.
We had everybody. It was a great.
I was digging through Adam Bomb's cage match profile the other day. I was like, dude, man,
who doesn't love? I mean, Wrath and Mortis. I mean, come on.
Yeah. I loved it. Underrated. The pump handle slam that he did back then was so
meltdown, brother.
It was just so good.
Just keep an eye out on the entire scene. Watch Japan. Watch AEW, watch TNA, watch all the independents. Keep an eye on our podcast. There's just everything's just
wrestling
fun.
And corporate wrestling, baby.
Bitcoin's at like 101 today. Oh, I mean, boy, dude, I've been trying to tell people since 60K to hop into that thing, man.
Oh, God. Guys, again, Resurgence Friday, Maple Leaf Pro Wrestling Saturday. Until next time, my friends, we're out.
Appreciate you.
Thanks, good brother.
If you're a wrestling fan and you're frustrated with all the services you need to watch all the different wrestling shows, Fightful has your solution with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Change your virtual location with just one click and you'll be able to watch Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and PLEs on one Netflix account. You'll also be able to get a lot of pay-per-views at a much more affordable price than you do here in the United States. This is a must-have for wrestling fans. That way you don't have to have 7 different accounts to watch all of the shows that you want to watch. In addition to that, they have a great 30-day money-back guarantee and an incredible deal right now going on. But that's far from it. You can protect yourself on their VPN service, the fastest in the world, shield your data from snoops and criminals, protect yourselves on public Wi-Fi, and it's available on all your devices and operating systems. NordVPN.com/Fightful.